Hello and welcome to the Magic Life podcast. And today I'm with a Magic Life resident, and we're going to keep his name. We're going to change his name, and we're going to call him G today. And G's got an interesting story, and I thought it would be good that we have a little chat with him and find out all about him and what he has to say about his life and where he finds himself today. So, good morning, G. How are you doing?
Good morning, Joe.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
So, how long have you been with Magic Life now?
About 8 months now.
Yeah? And you came from where?
I came from Moses Hall in Keighley.
Okay, all right. And what was that?
Care home.
A care home. And have you settled in down here? You liking it?
When I first come down here, I got battered twice and money pinched off me.
What, in the street?
Yeah. But now they're okay with me now.
Yeah. So tell me about your early life, G. Tell me about when, where did you grow up? What area did you grow up in?
I've grown up from being born to 7 years old in Altamore Road in Leeds.
In Leeds?
Yeah.
And how was your childhood? Was it a happy childhood? Did you get on at school? Or?
No.
No?
I hardly ever went to school. I got battered, abused. Everything a child goes through when he's got issues at home with the family.
So mm-hmm.
We've been a one-parent family.
Yeah.
And it turned out that my father and one of my brothers, older brothers, perverted. And it all led to the illness.
Mm-hmm. So what, they mistreated you, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, that had an effect on you.
It did, yeah. It made me poorly.
It made you poorly?
It made me really poorly, yeah. I got took away at seven from my dad at seven.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since, he's followed me all over the place.
When you say he's been following you, in your mind, or...?
No, every place I go to and every room I go to... He's in my room. He's right. Walking around my room. I can hear him walking around. I can smell him.
Mm-hmm.
I can taste him. You know, all them kind of things. But a person with schizophrenia goes through an illness, you know, and that's what brought it all on.
Mm-hmm.
All that, and being battered all over the place and ending my finger cut off, you know, so you weren't a right happy childhood, really. When I got took away at seven, I went to a children's home, Springfield Children's Home in Eden, in Yorkshire. And I could have done really, really well. But me and my own stupid here kept running away and causing mayhem and stealing. All kinds of things, taking drugs, drinking. And to this day, I'm still drinking and partially smoking a bit of cannabis and have the odd bit of crack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm pissed to admit to it, you know. There's not a lot of people who really do want to admit to a thing, story like this, but... Sometimes it helps other people to get somebody else's views on what he has gone through, what she's gone through, for them to know, just in case, you know, they have a family and they don't want to bring their child up like I grew up. So, I don't know really.
So, talk to me about when you was in that sort of children's home and you were running away. Why do you think you was running away, and what would you get up to?
I was running away to to try to get my brother away from the family, because I thought them two were going to do it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to try to do with him to get him out of the house is burn the house down within a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The more in it, said my younger brother. Now, my younger brother didn't run out of the house with me when I set a light. He must have gone upstairs and told them, and he must have all come down and put the fire out.
Yeah.
So, I said,
So, do you think it was a bit of an extreme move to set the house alight to get your brother out?
To be honest, I wanted to kill him.
But you want, I mean, you said earlier that you wanted to save your brother, but...
I wanted to save him, but I wanted to take him away from that.
But setting the house alight...
He won't, 1 minute that he wanted to run away with me.
Yeah.
And then when it come to it, he didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
He changed his mind.
Right. Get you. So what happened as a result of that?
Well, we lost contact.
Well, did you get pinched for it? Did you get arrested for that? Setting the house alight?
Not really, because they didn't inform me to the police.
Right.
They just put the fire out as it were.
Oh, okay.
All I set a light with, like a chest of drawers, like that. That's all I set a light.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it's not as if I tried, though, to burn the house down.
Yeah.
I did, honestly did.
Yeah.
As I said, it was just chest of drawers, a bit of a chest of drawers, but I ended up getting burnt.
Yeah.
So they were lucky to get downstairs quick enough.
Yeah, yeah. So you've spent some time in prison, haven't you?
I have, yeah, from the age of 14.
14?
Mm.
So from that, like, you was in a children's care home, you were sort of absconding from the care home, getting into mischief, getting in trouble, doing obviously silly things.
Yeah.
And then... how did you come to be getting put in prison? What was the crime that put you in prison?
A stealing.
Was it a multitude of stealing? You just kept on doing it?
Stealing, and for the beer, clothing and drugs.
Yeah. And then they obviously arrested you for that, and you got done for that, and you got put in prison.
Got put in DC, Barstow, YC, Young Offenders, YC, and then Cons, and then I started coming into hospital.
Right.
I've been coming into hospital now about 40 years now, I think it's more like that.
So from like the age of 14 up until how old are you roughly now? You don't have to give you exactly. You're 60.
60, yeah.
So you spent most of your sort of adult life, well, all of your adult life, either in prison or in a... hospital.
Yeah, I've been locked away. Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the last few years, this is closest I've got to society in 27 years.
Right.
And every place I went to, majority of them were locked up, big fences around. So I won't get out.
Mm-hmm. And coming... to us, Magic Life, it must maybe be a little bit scary for you?
It's scary. You're coming into to somewhere where you don't know nothing about.
Yeah.
And you find it difficult to comprehend what's this right and what's wrong and who's this and who's that and... You know, you got to start again and figure everything out.
Mm.
And that's where I find it difficult.
Mm. But do you prefer being on having your freedom now?
No.
You don't?
I like being controlled. If you understand what I mean. I've had it all my life, Joe. So there's no point turning on for me to turn on you and say, oh, yeah, it's brilliant. It's absolutely wonderful. I mean, blatant lying, you know what I mean?
That's fair enough.
And I don't,
I don't
want to lie.
What do you struggle with? Well, I mean, having this freedom, what is it that you struggle with?
I ain't got a rosette regime.
Right.
Like in them places, you know what you have to do. Every day you have to do something. So, you know, there was always something to pass the day, something to get stuck into and interested into. And since I've come here, I've let them all down, really.
How have you let them down?
I stole off of them. I hadn't worked with them. And, it's, you know, I've talked to them this week, and it's about time I did start working with them, because that's what I've come here for. But Ralph said to me, he said, you can rather come here, lay in the bed all day, you know, or work with us. And I said, well, I want to work with you. I want to get everything out of it what I can.
Mm.
You know. So that's how I've ended up here.
So you basically need some help with structure.
I do, yeah, very much.
Okay. And have you spoken to the staff about developing a plan of structure for you?
Well, no, because the manager's just took over now. She's new, so I wanted to talk to Caroline about it.
Okay.
So, and it's fine. It's difficult to get out of her now because she's that busy with other places, but I need her help.
Okay, but we can put that in place.
Yeah, well, I need to sort of sit down and talk to somebody. I've talked to my key worker.
Right.
And on the 26th, I get paid again, universal credit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on that day, and I've told him to have a look at what movies are on. And we're going to go to Pictures to Galaxy and we'll have a look at pictures.
Mm-hmm. But that's a one-off thing, isn't it? That's just like once
that's just
in
a one-off thing, but I want something every day.
Yeah, so I think we should try and
every time there's a sick key worker's on.
Yeah, and are you like, if they were to sit down with you and develop a routine for you, let's say you get up at this time, we're going to do that. At this time, we're going to do that. At another time, do you think you're going to stick to that?
Majority of it would do, yeah.
Yeah?
Majority of it. You know, be like you yourself, Johnny, when you wake up in the morning, you don't know how you're going to feel, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what's on your mind when you wake up. You don't know how you're feeling. You don't know if you're poorly or you haven't got, you haven't got a bit of go in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, I think it's about time I give them some back, you know what I mean? Because it's unfair. They've really been so patient with me. It's unbelievable, you know. And I've got to give them some back because it's unfair what I've done.
I can't
forgive myself for that.
It sounds like you're being overly harsh on yourself.
No, I deserve to be like that.
But why?
Why?
Yeah.
I've stole off them, man. I've lied to them. You don't do that to people. You don't do that to anybody, but you don't do that to people who are taking care and looking after you.
I understand that. And it's nice that you recognise that. But I once, I think a little while ago, spoke to you. And you said something to me, is that it's all you've ever known?
Well, it is always ever known. Right. Like I said to Caroline, the opportunity is there, I'll take it.
Exactly. So what I'm trying to say to you is that we need to work with you to get you to a place where this isn't your automatic response to doing things. You know, like, I see it, I'm going to have it.
Yeah. Right?
And then sometimes when you were just saying that you, the way you felt about things, you know, you let people down, you let yourself down, other people, I almost get a sense that you're being overly self-critical And then when you get really self-critical about yourself, you end up thinking that you're worthless, that it's not any good, that you're trouble, that you're this and you're that. And then you don't want to make any effort to do anything positive because...
That's what I mean. I've got down to that stage now.
Yeah, but we can change that.
That's why I need to work with the staff.
Yeah.
And the first step to it is going to the movies with Emmanuel.
Okay.
And then after that, like you can put to the manager when we finish the year that. When I finish with Emmanuel on that day of the pictures, we look at a structure and get a structure put together and work with them instead of going into town, being with idiots, drinking all day, smoking weed all day, and having bits of crack here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that. I don't want none of that, mate.
I know you don't want that, but you do that.
I do that, yeah, but I do not know on that.
Yeah. How many times do you smoke weed or have crack in a week?
I smoke weed about four times a week, five times a week.
Right. And it's something that you've done for a long time?
I've done it since I was 8 years old.
Right. And what about the harder stuff, like crack or whatever?
Crack. I've just started getting myself in a bit of an habit with that.
You on it again, are you?
Talked to him about it, you know, in the big room. I went on the Weatherwing. I saw that I was misfit and I stopped taking that.
Yeah.
So now it's the crack. I want to get kicked in the touch. And the weed, because that's not helping me stay in mind at all. That's one of the worst things you can have for as mental illness, cannabis.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Well, to bring on the mental illness, anyway.
Yeah?
I think it's one of the worst, can I? Yeah, it's just worse.
Really?
Yeah, cannabis, yeah.
Today you seem a bit subdued today.
I am, yeah. I'm tired, you know. There's things on my mind where... I just don't know what to do anymore, to be honest. You know, I'm lost. Lost.
When you feel like that, do you reach out to any of the, your support workers and the manager here?
I just go to my room and just lay me in bed and go for a go to sleep.
Yeah? Why don't you have a chat with them?
I do have a chat. But... not really about the issues.
You talk to me about it.
Yeah. I talk to them about it sometimes, you know, but, you know, sometimes you go more in depth than you do with other people.
Yeah.
As you know that yourself, you'll talk to somebody more in depth than you will to another person.
Yeah.
You know, you don't treat everybody exactly the same, only in well-being, but in conversationalist, and it was in your mind, and you know, you wouldn't talk about your work efforts with somebody who already knows about them work efforts.
Yeah.
But to somebody who doesn't really know about them and you want them to learn them, to go down the same road you have, you put more into that than you would talking to somebody who's already like you, already knows all these things. Yeah. If you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
Am I talking sense or not?
Yeah, no, I sort of... What you're trying to explain, if I understand rightly, is that you connect with more people than others and sometimes you can have a bit of a better conversation. Is that you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
When was the last time you used any drugs? Today?
No, No.
You didn't take anything today?
No, I've been down with methadone this morning. No.
No? Yesterday?
Not even a drink, no. Not even a drink. Mm-hmm. Day before that, I had a bit of cannabis and a drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I took crack for about a week now.
Okay.
So it's getting a bit better.
Good. And when you take it, how does it make you feel?
Do you know something like that? I don't really know. I don't really know, mate.
Yeah? You don't know how it makes you feel when you take a hit?
No, not anymore. When you 40 years, 45 years ago, when I first started on it, when I first were producing this country from the yardies, then that was crack. And then when you had a bit of that, you went to moan there.
Yeah. So why do you still feel the need to do it?
I'm not a clue. I'm being honest with you, I'm not a clue. It doesn't make sense to me, because the majority of it is a load of no good.
Yeah. Because, I've never been addicted to any substances myself.
No, you don't want to be, right? Either.
Other than maybe smoking. Mm. And I know I'll give you my reaction on smoking. You know, when you feel like I really need a fag, or when you know that you've run out of cigarettes, you start sort of getting a bit angsty and a little bit anxious that you want one. Is that how you feel about some of the drug taking that you use?
Sometimes, yeah. Well, work this out. You're saying, yeah, right, you're not a drug taker, but you're a smoker. When you've got cigs, you don't smoke as many as you do. But when you haven't got cigs...
You want to smoke more.
You want to smoke more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a vicious circle. It goes round and round and round and round.
Yeah.
And it never stops. Unless you put your foot down and you saw yourself, put yourself together and reach out for the help, as much help as you can. And if you don't reach out for that help, it's too late. And I think it's too late anyway. I'm 60 years old now. I only think I've got left. Not very long, mate. And I'm being honest, not very long.
No? Why'd you say that?
Because I'm getting pains in my right lung.
Mm-hmm.
I've got sciatica. As I say, I've got mental illness. I've got COPD.
Mm-hmm.
I've got chronic asthma. And I'm still smoking. I'm still dabbling in bits of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not doing very well, am I?
Well, I'd have to agree with you there, mate. I'm not going to pull the punches. I think if you're...
Well, I want you to be honest with me, mate.
Yeah, I don't think it's doing you any good.
No, I don't know.
You know, and you recognise...
That's why I want to get out with a manual for the day.
But I don't think it's...
I don't even really want to go there to watch the film. I want us to sit right at the back where nobody sits these days and have a little chat.
Talk to me about your diagnosis, your medical diagnosis. You don't have to be specific. But...
Well, my medical diagnosis, paranoid schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress disorder, severe personality disorders, and depression.
Okay. And how do they come out? How do they start? Are they there all the time? Do you feel good sometimes? Do you feel like...
When I'm in my bedroom... I sing my head off to get away the noise in my bedroom, but when I come downstairs, happy as Larry, I have a joke, I have a laugh, you know. I think they all think well of me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I'm straightforward. If I think something's wrong, I'll tell them.
Mm-hmm.
I know they don't like it, but I'll tell them. Just like when I do something wrong and they tell me, I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got to be done sometimes, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, but my mental state's a lot better now.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, I was, you know, sometimes when I get really, 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 really poorly, paranoid, that's when I start seeing my brother and my dad in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I see him in my bedroom, I see him touching me, feeling me,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that. So, I didn't want to speak about that, but now it's out there.
Well, do you think that was the start of your mental health journey from your younger childhood?
No, to be honest with you, I think about it from my mum.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call it when it's from an innocent family?
Hereditary?
Hereditary, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hereditary from my mum's side.
Well, did your mum's family have instances of poor mental health?
I don't really know, but she was getting battered every day off my dad.
Hit?
Battered me, like he battered me.
So you've witnessed that, you saw your mum getting battered, and you obviously experienced...
When I locked up in my bedroom upstairs, I could hear her screaming.
Mm.
Every time I come in for pub every night, battered her all over the house.
Mm. And obviously you getting hit.
Me getting it, so really I think I've got it from her, because she must have been depressed. She got to with me.
Well, I think you've experienced it.
And I'm the only person in the family what looks like my mum.
Right.
I have blonde hair, blue eyes. All the rest have got dark hair, dark skin, dark eyes, dark hair. All small. I'm the tallest in the family. And I've got blue eyes, blonde hair like my mum.
Mm.
Now, I've been told of one of my boys, Ian, that he thought that then I want my dad's son.
Right, okay.
If you understand what I mean.
Yes, I understand it perfectly clear.
I want my dad's son.
Okay, maybe, maybe not, who knows?
Mm.
I don't know.
I don't want to be his fucking son.
No.
He's, you know, he's fucked my life up that much. I could never forgive him. But, you know, what am I trying to say now?
You don't want him to be your dad, basically, because what he's done to you.
I don't want him to be, no. But I've got to live with him in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Do you speak to him? Do you speak to him as if he's there?
Yeah, I said, get a fucking way from there.
Yeah. And what else do you say?
When he starts asking me questions, just leave me alone, just leave me alone. I don't want to speak to you, just leave me alone. I ignore him now, anyway. That's all past now.
Mm-hmm.
It's all past now. All I'm left with now is the smell, the taste, and the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing him moving around.
Mm-hmm.
All I know why he's moving is because I hear him moving around my room,
mm-hmm.
on my floor. Especially when it's a floor like these.
Yeah.
Now, if it's carpet, you know, it might be a little bit different, but I'm still going to hear it.
Yeah.
Because that's my illness.
Yeah.
Still going to hear it. But.
Jay, let me ask you a question. I'm interested. I mean, I'm not a medical doctor or anything like this. I want to ask you a question. When you hear these footsteps or people talking to you, do you realise that they're not real, or do you think that they are real?
They are real. Of course they're real, man. There's so many people being diagnosed with illnesses, it's funny not to be real.
Mm-hmm. So when I say it's real, they're man. Real in your mind...
No, it's not in my mind.
No?
It's in doctors' minds as well. They must be, man.
Mm-hmm.
If they're getting paid 150 grand a year, 200 grand a year for doing their work, they're not doing it for no reason at all, are they?
Maybe I didn't explain myself properly, right? You're in your room by yourself, right? Yeah. No one's there. And you hear these noises. Do you think those noises are in your head or they're actually in the room?
They're in my room.
Right.
They're in my room. I wouldn't say they were in my room if they weren't in my room.
Right.
Why would I want to lie about shit like that?
No, no.
What? Somebody from my background. Well, I didn't fucking have a background, but somebody who's ended up like me taking drugs and being, you know, a bit of a little, bit of a lad at times.
Yeah.
You know, why would I want to talk about something like that?
Yeah.
Why would I want to admit to something like that?
Mm-hmm.
I fucking wouldn't, would you? Mm. If I went back to Leeds and said to some of the lads that I've known fucking all my life, oh, yeah, I hear voices. Huh? Like, what the fuck are you on about?
Mm-hmm.
So...
And you've experienced that for like 20 odd years, 27 years.
More than that. I've experienced that for nearly 40 years, mate.
Yeah.
I've experienced that since I was a child, but I've been diagnosed for about 35 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And clinically.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've got a doctor trying to sell me. After meeting me twice, a woman called Dr. Oh, I can't remember now. Anyway, because I won't give her a urine sample, next time I've seen her, she says, you're not a paranoid schizophrenic, you got post-traumatic stress disorder, there's no wrong with you, I don't want to see you again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she said to me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's not funny, is it?
No. How do you, how does it make you feel knowing that you've got these diagnoses? Does it make sense to you? You say, well, yeah, this is why I do the things I do, because I got these diagnoses of mental health.
No, it just happens, isn't it? It just happens. It's not that I don't think about it. I'm not going to do it because I've got a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want somebody to feel a comfort me a little bit better than other people because I've got mental illness. I don't want all that.
Because what I was wondering is sometimes do you feel any sort of comfort in the fact that some of the things you experience are down to a medical condition, and that you say, well, okay, I understand that this is because I have a mental condition and that's why I might do certain things.
You don't think like that?
No.
Illness is a very hard thing to explain, mate.
Yeah.
It's a very hard thing to explain. It's like a surgeon or a brain surgeon going into the brain. You know, they only know certain bits and all that.
What I find interesting, Gary, is... You don't really attribute a lot of you seem to attribute a lot of blame to yourself,
yeah.
And I think you're being a bit over harsh on yourself, if I'm honest.
I don't know.
It's like I can see that you're actually a nice person, and you've got You've got a bit of a skewed, when I say skewed, a little bit of a funny sense of, how can I say, morals. Like, you know, you got your morals are quite good, but then you know that, okay, if I take this pair of earphones or this packet of crisps that aren't mine, that you do realise that it's stealing and it's wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And... so I think you've got your moral compass is all right, but sometimes your urges take over you.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So that sort of says to me, but the underlying G is actually quite a nice person.
Yeah.
right? And he's actually wants to do better, but struggles sometimes, like we all do, right?
I want to engage with these more, that's what I want to do.
Well, let's do that.
I've got to.
Yeah, man, you have to.
This is my home now.
Yeah.
It's my home. I talked to Raf, we can remember, kind of, I was talking to Raf when I was outside with Caroline, talking to Raf that day he came.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, but if it's my home for the rest of my life, he says, if you want it to be, I said, well, yeah, I do. He said, I said, can I have a 3-seater set here in my bedroom? Because I've only got a 2-seater set here in my bedroom.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, if you want to. So I'm saving up one of them.
Good man.
Yeah, I'm saving up one of them.
This podcast that we're doing now, this little chat, if you had a message to people who have maybe gone, who have experienced similar mental health issues like yourself and have maybe taken some bad choices in life,
yeah,
what would you say to them? Being that you're now nearly 60 or you are 60.
Try and think about what you're doing before you do it. And speak to somebody as quick as you can. That's what I'd say. Don't let it take over you like it took over me and a lot of other people. Because we've been locked up all our lives. Don't go down the road that we've gone down. Because you won't have a life. You won't have a family. You won't have nothing. You'll be just a person getting put in a box and burnt or buried, and there's nobody around your grave to say ta-ra to you. And that's what my grave will be like.
Well, let's not hope. Let's think that we won't be like that.
Well, you know something, I couldn't give a fuck.
Really?
Mm. I don't get no visitors anyway.
Hey, what's that?
Nobody comes to see me anymore. There's only Janet Broome, my best friend, who I've known all my life. A woman. She don't come down here, but when I was at other places, she'd come all the time. It's took 5 from down here. She lives in Ilkley. That's outside of Leeds. That's another extra hour to come down here.
Mm-hmm.
And it took, how many hours this time? 5 hours? To get down here from Keefler. A long fucking journey, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a long journey.
Mm. If anybody's listening to this and you're reading it, I'm sorry about the language.
It's all right. They don't mind, I'm sure.
I'm sorry about it.
You know what, G? I think you're a good person.
Thank you very much.
Right. I think you've gone through a lot of crap in your life, right? Especially in your younger life, and you know that led you down certain paths.
Yeah.
And I think some of your mental health conditions were a result of that.
Yeah.
And now you're getting to this place now where you are today, where you've got your new freedoms available to you, and I know it's a bit of an adjustment, right? Because it's a massive change from where you've been.
Yeah.
Right, and I think that we can genuinely make the latter part of your life, right, much more enjoyable.
A little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, and maybe more purposeful, where you want to actually try something new and break out of those old routines.
Yeah.
But you can only, in my mind, you can only break out of those old routines.
If I want to.
Well, you firstly have to develop new routines.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to try something different. You know, let's say, I don't know, walking, yeah? Or going to a class, you know, basic woodworking class. I'm coming out with anything, right?
But
trying different things to develop new routines. And then when you find something that you like, you say, I actually quite like that. I like painting, I like drawing, or I like going to here, there, whatever.
I used to do a lot of painting as well.
Do you?
I used to do a real lot of it.
Right.
All through my life, I've always sat down and done paper, but they had a lot of 2 or 3 years. Can't be bothered with it. No interest in me.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost all the self-esteem. I've lost all the confidence in myself. I've lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to try and let these people give me it back.
Yeah, you got to ask for it back. You got to take
That's
it
what
back.
I mean. Otherwise, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it on my own.
Well, they're going to help you. We're going to help you.
Mm.
All right? Let's do it together. Let's work out a plan together. We say, right, on a Monday morning, after he's woken up, had his coffee, had his fag, whatever, going to do a bit of painting, bit of drawing, you know? And then maybe in the afternoon, going to go for a walk.
But the thing about it is,
yeah,
it's all right having a place like this for the mental health. But they haven't got a room where you can do things like that.
Yeah, we've got the living room there.
Oh, you know, anything.
Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah.
You got? Have we got any paints here for you?
I don't know.
Well, we'll get some.
Yeah, paints and paper.
Yeah? And we start doing it.
But then again, do I have to pay for all that as well?
I tell you what, I'll pay for it.
Because I've got to fucking pay for everything.
Yeah, well, do you know what that's called, don't you?
Pain.
I know. But it's about having taken accountability. Right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you've got two choices, haven't you, really? Let's say you get £30, right? Just for instance. You can either blow that on some weed or some crack, or you can buy some pen and papers, right? Some colouring pens and whatever.
And in the state of my life that I'm in at the moment, if I don't break that circle, that £30 is going to go for weed.
Yeah. So you take the plunge, say, you know what, I'm going to spend a tenner on this stuff, getting some pen and paper, but I'll tell you what, I'll get you some stuff.
No, you don't have to.
No,
do
I
that.
Want to.
You don't have to do that. These will get me.
Well, the company will get it for you.
Yeah.
And I'll get you some pen and papers. It will do it. But you got, and I want to see what you're going to do with it. I want you to paint me something. What did you like painting?
Oh, the last bit of painting I did, they've got them on the walls at Newsom Centre. And they used to call it the ICU. But now they call it, what do they call it now? You know when you're really poorly and...
Intensive care.
They've got a picture up hanging up in there on what I did.
What was it?
You know, what did you... A canvas. I painted it all black. I got a red pen. Splashed it all over there. I got a white pen. Splashed all that all over it. I got a yellow pen, splashed all that all over it, and put a green pen, and splashed all that all over it. Beautiful.
You enjoyed that?
Hmm?
That's excellent.
And on a couple of other walls, they got over certain pictures of what I've done.
Great, you've got a plan then, mate. Let's get you some paint and paper in a canvas and get you drawing. I'd love to see some of your stuff. We put it in the magazine and stuff. Deal?
Yeah.
I'm joking because my hand was resting on that. All right. Well, G, I'm going to end it now. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
I know you're a little bit flat. You're not as bubbly as you sometimes are.
No, I'm not.
Right? But that's all right.
No, I'm not.
Right?
I'm not well at all, mate, to be honest with you.
I've got a really bad stomach.
I've got a really bad wind. I've been talking to GP on the phone about half an hour ago, and she wants a face-to-face with me.
Right. Well, I think you should get that sorted out, bro. But I do appreciate you giving me your time today.
You're welcome to it, mate. If you do put it out and it helps somebody else, even if it's just one person, then I've done some good for somebody, haven't I?
I think you've done a lot of good, you know, just the last bit about, you know, giving your advice about not making the wrong choices in life is useful to someone. But, G, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And I'll catch you next time.
Okay.